This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that lead today's shows are the CIA's massive leak. Yeah, links. And remember my story about the kid in Jersey, that meme? Talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about Google's new Jamboard, something that's pretty awesome. We're going to talk about cosmic lights, aka cosmic light flashes, and how they could be, scientists say, are powering alien spacecraft. Yes, they've reached that deep. We're going to talk about something closer to home, SpaceX reusable rocket launch that's going to happen later this month. We're going to talk about how the new Cadillac CTS talk to each other, plus all the news of the day. I want to welcome you all to episode 1183 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, March, 9th already. My goodness. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy, or you can support this show today by ponying up to the bar and becoming an insider at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider, or simply PayPal.me/GeekNews. You can pick up Ohana gear at CafePress.com/Ohana Store. I want to give a warm, warm welcome to new listeners. And of course, if you're brand new to the show, really the most important thing for you to do is visit geeknewscentral.com. And I tell you, to do so will change your whole outlook on tech. That might be going a little bit too far, but get over to geeknewscentral.com and get subscribed to the podcast. You'll find a link there to iTunes, Android, via email, on Google Play, via Stitcher, on TuneIn, or just use a standard RSS feed. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, well, just get over there and click on the more subscription options on that page, and that'll get you hooked up. Don't forget to visit the site on a regular basis. Our writers are doing great things, putting out great content. We want you to visit. Sign up for the newsletter while you're there as well. The newsletter contains everything that I talk about during the show, and it's an email directly to you. It's not a spam. You don't get a big conversation list. It's just me sharing the information with you. Of course, a warm welcome to all the longtime viewers and listeners, all of the Ohana. Welcome to the family. Welcome to the show tonight. And of course, if any of you have comment on today's show, it's real easy to drop me an email at geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. You can join our Slack channel, and I encourage you to do so by emailing me and just say, hey, I want to join the Geek News Central Ohana Slack channel. I'll get you added to that. And you can follow on Google Plus or Facebook. You can watch the show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel, the Apple TV by subscribing to the video version of this show, or you can listen on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. You can listen on Stitcher, watch review on blueberry.com, or tell Google Home. You can say, okay, and then that word, play the podcast Geek News Central, and the Google Home will do that for you, play the latest episode. Of course, we want to welcome our partner shows, or don't forget of our partner shows, No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, Pro Gear Site written by my GNC team. And of course, this show would not be possible without our longtime sponsor. And I'm going to tell you, GoDaddy's here, and we've got a great deals for you that continue. Matter of fact, I'm meeting with the GoDaddy team on Monday, and we're going to talk about some new stuff, so I'm excited about that. But if you get over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, you're going to be able to get hooked up with all my promo codes, whether it be 30% off on a new product purchase, 99cent.com, whether it be $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain for the first year, or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. I'll tell you something about those managed WordPress sites. When there's an update that comes out, you don't even really have to have logged into the site. You get an email from GoDaddy saying, hey, we've just updated your page. So they really keep track of what's going on. And what the most important thing is set all the security settings to keep your site safe. So those managed WordPress hosting accounts are fantastic. Again, $12 gets you one for the first year along with a free domain. You cannot beat that. Of course, if you're a business owner, that website builder, GoDaddy website builder is something for you. And again, it could be your choice of personal business or business plus plans. with an associate at GoDaddy to help you get started. So definitely check out all of that. Again, all these deals can be found at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want you to get over there and grab those deals. We want you to share those codes with your friends, family members, people that you know. Don't write it on the bathroom wall, but we want you to put those codes in the right hands and make sure that they know where they can save money. And that's here at geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. Okay, let me see here. What's in my little stack of notes to chit-chat about tonight to kind of get everyone caught up? It's been an amazing week, to say the least. And it's just going to be like a full-on, full-throttle weekend, too. But business taxes, as I said last show, they're in. She had a couple of questions. I think they're going to be ready for pickup tomorrow or Monday. They better be, because, you know, I'll be honest with you, it's for business taxes. I have to have them in the mail and postmarked by the 15th. So the corporate taxes will go in, and then we get to start on the personal stuff. Don't you? I hate tax time. I really do. We're going to have a good new media show this coming Saturday. We're going to get started a little early because my son has a soccer game, so I have to leave here to get him to the bus at school to get loaded up to go. And yes, soccer runs weird times here in Hawaii, but they got their a soccer match this coming weekend or first Saturday. And then, so we're going to start the show at 8:30 a.m. Pacific time for those of you that that may watch. Just want to let all of you know that emailed on the assistant. I have not started doing those emails yet, just haven't caught up. But I am pretty pleased with the response, and I'll be reaching out to folks hopefully over the weekends. As I said in my last show, I'm upgrading my network attached storage devices, my Synology 5 drive bay system. And I'm putting, it already had a 5 terabyte and 4 3-terabytes. And I replaced all 3 terabytes with 6. Matter of fact, I'm on my 3rd drive. It takes about 24 hours. When you pull a drive, stick the new one in, it takes about a full 24 hours for it to fully re-replicate, make sure it cross-checks, make sure the data is good again before you're completely healthy, before you can pull another drive and replace. So I've been doing that consistently, about one a day. We have one more drive, and my storage space has steadily grown, and that's a good thing because I was essentially out of storage. But now I've got, you know, 4 3-terabyte drives plus some other drives from the past I've got laying around here. So I'm thinking, okay, what do I do with those? Because they're perfectly good and we'll reutilize them. But anyway, that's been going on all week. Another thing I did is, I told you in the last show, I upgraded, or I bought an SSD drive to upgrade my desktop with. Now, I've got a copier. Basically, it's an ability to go from one drive size to another, and it worked perfectly in duping out from basically a spinner to an SSD. And, you know, I knew I was going to get a performance boost, but I really was kind of blown away. This, for some reason, and I know you Apple folks are going to laugh, but when I first bought this machine, it would boot in like 3 minutes maybe. But now, you know, it's gotten a little older, and I've cleaned it up a lot and made sure that there's a whole bunch of programs that aren't starting. But still, from about the time I hit start to about the time I'm ready to start using the machine is about 10 minutes. And it just was ridiculous. I never shut the machine off. So put the SSD in and hit the, you know, I basically sit here with the stopwatch and press start. And 63 seconds later, I was already logged in and the primary programs had loaded, was ready to rock and roll. And it's just like I got a new machine. It's just amazing how much more life you get out of a machine. So right now, all my primary, well, not all, but the majority of my primary machines, my desktop, my Dell XPS 13, my old MacBook Pro, they're all running SSDs. So I've made the jump here, and I'll never buy another machine, another desktop without a solid state drive in it for the boot drive. And you want a spinner for big storage because it's too crazy to buy a big SSD otherwise, but just the speed and performance increase is just simply remarkable. But anyway, that happened. And then one thing I was hearing on another show that I thought was pretty cool was that we had another show, the audience was buying the podcast domains. And I thought, well, that was kind of cool. But I'm going to take it a step further. If you're sitting on a domain and you're just going to let it expire, and you thought, maybe I don't want to keep it. I'm a hoarder when it comes to domains. And if you got a domain that you want to give up, let me know. Matter of fact, one of our Ohana members, we had a relationship business-wise with Trucker Tom a number of years ago. And we ran this site called thepodcastpromos.com. It was very, very early on in the podcast days. And we had shut down that site 5-6 years ago. And Trucker Tom kept renewing the domain again and again. And a couple weeks ago, he emailed me and said, hey, do you guys want the domain? And he was gracious enough to transfer to it. So we were able to basically pick that domain up. We're going to maintain it and have it. I don't know if we forwarded it yet or not. But if you've got it, and that's just on my business side. But if you have a domain that you think I can use, let me know. And if you're going to let it expire, or you know, if you think it's worth something, you know, even sometimes I buy domains. So just keep that in mind. And I don't, you know, I think the most I've ever spent on a domain, I spent a little too much on a domain once, but maybe about $500, I think, is about the most I've ever. Now, I've sold a lot of domains in the, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 range, but every once in a while, I'll sell one. And I have to, because my renewal fees on my domains, that gets pretty expensive each year. So I usually have to sell one or two just to, I guess, for a better word, feed the habit. But anyway, that's what's going on. If you got a domain you want to point to the site, at geekmecenter.com, feel free. And if you have a domain you want to give away, drop me a line. Be happy to take it off your hands. Maybe we can just talk about it. So then email me at geeknews@gmail.com. Okay, so that's going to wrap me up kind of my chit-chat notes. We'll get into the content here. Literally, and I'll be honest with y'all tonight, I'm just dragging. Like a dog. I picked my son up and came home, and I was just gonna like, man, it's gonna, if I had some Red Bull in the house, it would be a Red Bull night tonight. But I've stopped drinking Red Bull, and been drinking Metaluca power shots, but I'm out. So tonight I'm just running on H2O, folks. Okay. And if you're watching on Facebook tonight or YouTube, those of you on YouTube, don't forget we're at facebook.com/Cochran. Come on over and say hello. Make sure you write a comment in the comment section on Facebook and say hi. And for those of you, of course, listening to the show later, definitely come over and friend me on Facebook if you haven't already. We appreciate if you do that, or I would appreciate that if you do it. All right, let me go ahead and move into the content. Now, you guys all know, most of you know my background. Prior military. Matter of fact, I posted something on Facebook the other day. There was a piece put out by the National Security Agency that honored folks that we've lost over the years in the for national reconnaissance. And see if I can bring that up, and let me talk just a little bit to this. I know it's a little bit off the show schedule here, but I didn't want that to start, but yeah, this article, and it's not loading fast on this thing. It's a piece basically that goes all the way back to the beginning of the Cold War, and I flew in VQ-1 as a sensor operator on EP-3s from 1984 to 1987, and from 1991 to 1994. And there's a lot of good information. Well, there's a lot of information in the public domain about VQ-1, but this NSA piece basically honors those folks that paid the ultimate price. And it's basically entitled A Dangerous Business, the U.S. Navy and the National Reconnaissance During the Cold War. And they've got two prominent patches, the VQ-1 patch and the VQ-2 patch. VQ-1 was, when I was in it, was in Guam. The other one was in Rota, Spain. Today, VQ-1 is still alive and running, and they're out of Whidbey Island. But it talks about going all the way back in the 40s and 50s, all the way up until today. It talks about the men that we lost in you know, the shoot downs, and you know, these folks were basically doing reconnaissance against the Chinese, the Russians, the North Koreans, and many paid the ultimate price by, you know, collecting information on those countries. And but it was nice that they put this out. It gives you a little insight. While I can never speak about what I did, obviously there is you know, some information there you can read through and kind of glean some info on your own. But I thought it was cool that the NSA did this. Again, I was a sailor, just so we know that. I was active duty military in the U.S. Navy. So that was, they talk about, you know, the interaction over the years with, you know, a part of the business I did when I was active duty. But so anyway, I've got that in my Facebook page if you're interested in taking a look at that. Maybe give you guys a little more insight on me from back in the day. Now, that leads to an article tonight in the show that I find highly disturbing. Some people will find it highly enlightening. But this this WikiLeaks leak of all this information from the CIA and the 8,000 or 8,100 pages of documents. And according to Julian Assange, that's only 1% of what he has. And that to me is just, I don't even know how to describe it. Some folks are probably jumping for joy that this information is on the street. And we've talked about this many times on this show, that I take a little different perspective on things based upon my history, that I understand completely the damage, the absolute utter destruction and damage and lives that are at risk by this type of information being released. And I don't know what's going on here with people and why they have such a problem with keeping their agreements, keeping to their agreements and their allegiance to the country, but releasing this stuff, and I haven't looked at any of it, is, no matter what, really, really bad. From a perspective of, if you're from the United States, you're listening to the show, and if you're from Canada or from UK or wherever you may be, you may not care as much, but because, at least in the United States, those of you that listen, your taxpayer dollars have went to develop what they develop and what they do. And for it all to be kind of laid out for everyone to see, it's the equivalent of taking like $1 billion or $1 trillion and literally flushing it down the toilet. You know, that's the best analogy I can give you when it comes to the damage that it does. And again, I don't know the scope, but anytime you have 8,100 pages of information that is not supposed to be in the public domain, it's it can be very devastating and be a real impact against the country. Now, there's always these words that government officials will use. I can neither confirm nor deny, but when and they will continue probably to say exactly that. But when they, you know, when people go through and read this stuff and then they ask questions about it, you know, it's not, it's just, you know, it's devastating. But there is a lot going on here. So, first and foremost, Julian Assange, you may love him, you may hate him, and what Wikipedia does, but he probably within certain divisions of the United States government is probably the most hated man on the planet, you know, and probably in all honesty, you know, to others, he's a hero and they clap, and definitely to the enemy, he's definitely a hero at this point. But this data, and what boggles my mind is how someone in the first place got access to that big of a hoard of information. I don't get it. I really, really don't get it. You know, that hoard of data definitely, to me, what's the best way to say it? How did that big of a hoard of data get accumulated by one individual and get shared? I that to me, I just blows my mind probably the most, is how that much data was actually collected in the first place by someone. So, and not in my wildest dreams, and anything I ever did in the past where I would even, you know, 1/1000th of that data I would ever have access to, you know, it was, I just can't imagine the amount of material, and it just blows me away if it's truly 8,100 pages of information. So, and if they've got more, if they say they really truly have, you know, essentially this is only 1% of what they have, who knows where this is going to go. But now WikiLeaks is saying they're going to work with you know, companies that have been talked about in these documents, and apparently they may even have software tools and stuff that they're going to be able to give to Samsung and Apple, and you know, to help them, you know, lock up their stuff. I just find it totally incredible. I really do. I don't really know what more I can say about it. It's just that it just astonishes me. And I know many of you take a different perspective on this, and that's your right. But you know, given my background of what I, you know, having been in the Navy and everything else, it's just shocking to me in more ways than one. You know, Julian Assange, man, wherever he goes, he better have a bulletproof vest and a you know, this guy has got to be on, like, yeah, you know, he ends up with two bullets to the back of his head from someone taking him out. This dude will need protection for a long time. I maybe I'm wrong here, but I just can't imagine him having one too many friends. But it's a devastating amount of information. And honestly, I hope they catch the person that that released it, and I hope they hang them by their toenails. I know we don't do that, you know. I hope they get caught and they're, and you know, brought to justice in a deep, dark, black cell. All right. So let's move on here. And I'm sure some of you are going to have comments on this. Geeknews@gmail.com. Feel free to send me your comments. But, you know, those of you that have been with the show long enough, my commentary should not come as any surprise to you. All right. I want to talk about this new Google Jamboard. And, and I've always tried to figure out what I'm going to do with this space behind here. At one time, we were going to buy furniture and change things up, but everything that I've looked at has never really made a lot of sense. And I've always wanted something that would be a little bit interactive that I could have behind it, meet me, that I could change, that's something that could be actively updated. You know, it's just little ideas like that that, you know, I tried to figure out things I could do to the studio. And I don't think I want to spend $5,000 for this, but this new GM board, this 55-inch, and this is basically for meetings, and it's designed to be in, so, you know, something like this in my studio would be completely overkill. I'd be much more, much more value just going out and get another 60-inch television, hanging it back there, moving the cabinets out of the way, and then just running some sort of interactive screen with it, instead of having something that was interactive. But I just think that this interface, this collaborative whiteboard, is really, really cool. And they're obviously trying to compete here with Microsoft, and we'll see where it comes in. I think it's going to be a little bit cheaper, but the, oh, isn't that lovely? Warning, unresponsive plugin, Shockwave Flash may be busy. So something on that page is trying to load Flash. When are we going to get rid of that? Please, it needs to go away. But the $600 annual fee still makes me a little bit like, wow, but it's still cheaper than the similar Surface Hub. And the whiteboard's also designed for teleconferencing too. So it's a pretty exciting product that I definitely are having interest in. But again, I don't think that it would make a lot of sense to have it back here and for something for me to do silly writing on before the show that you guys could see. But anyway, if you have a business and you have a conference room, the GM board might be a cool thing to have. And matter of fact, I'm thinking about how it can be used in my office in Columbus and whether or not the team would use it. Everyone needs a whiteboard of some sort, but we've always used like a regular white vat board. Nothing super fancy. You can get those cheap at Home Depot or an office supply store. You don't have to spend $5,000 or a $6,000 annual fee for having a screen. Come on, you know, Firefox is causing me some grief right now, and I don't know why. Load, please. Paste and go. I'm trying to load the page so you guys can see this graphic. Over in space.com, there is a, All right, stop. I don't want to receive notifications. Always block notifications for space.com. I got these big ads on the page too. So scientists, you know, have had these random cosmic light flashes that they've detected. And up to this point, they've detected 20 of these. And they're very brief, super bright flashes, which are known as fast radio bursts. And since the first one was detected in 2007, FRBs seem to be coming from galaxies billions, listen to this, billions of light years away. But what's causing them remains a mystery. It's not like some alien stepping out and lighting up a cigarette. But fast radio bursts are exceedingly bright given their short duration and origin at great distances. And they haven't identified a possible natural source with any confidence. But one potential artificial origin, according to a new study, might be a gigantic radio transmitter built by intelligent aliens. They're basically saying that these two calculated that a solar-powered transmitter could indeed beam FRB-like signals across the cosmos, but it would require a sunlit collecting area twice the size of Earth to generate the necessary power. And the huge amounts of energy involved wouldn't necessarily melt the structure as long as it was water-cooled, so they determined such a gigantic transmitter is technologically feasible, although beyond our feeble ability to build one. And why would someone build such a structure? They're saying the most plausible explanation, according to the study team, is to blast interstellar spacecraft to incredible speeds. These crafts would be equipped with light sails, which harness the momentum impacted by photons, much as regular ships' sail harnesses the wind. Humanity, and we've already demonstrated that light sails in space will work, and indeed a transmitter capable of generating an FRB-like signal could drive an interstellar spacecraft weighing more than 1 million tons. They say that's big enough to carry living passengers across interstellar or even intergalactic distances. And they said that humanity, would only catch a fleeting glimpse of the leakage from these powerful beams, which would be trained on the spacecraft's sail at all times, because the light source would be moving constantly with respect to Earth, the researchers pointed out. They assume that ET is responsible for most FRBs, and taking into account the estimated number of potential habitable planets in the Milky Way, about 10 billion, they calculated an upper limit on the number of advanced alien civilizations in a galaxy like our own to be about 10,000. So they think that these flashes of lights that are coming from billions of light years away are aliens powering their spacecraft. Okay. I think it's a good hypothesis. It's not a sun or a star. It's not, some alien going on the back porch and smoking a cigarette, What do you guys think? Hey, I do want to go back just a second. Remember when I told you before the election that the Democratic National Committee probably got hacked by a kid in Jersey? Well, one thing that has been in the news is that purportedly, according to the news, these tools that they had were enough to spoof other countries. So what if the Central Intelligence Agency was spoofing Russia and hacking Hillary's server? Huh. So it technically may not have been a kid in Jersey, but maybe someone in D.C. Langley or someplace like that, maybe? Who knows? I thought I would throw that in there for a little ha-ha. Anything's possible, right? Cosmic light flashes powering alien spacecraft? Yeah. Oh, my gosh. All right, SpaceX first reusable rocket relaunch due this month. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, I wonder if they gave this company a discount. But SpaceX has been working to, and they're going to launch a satellite from Luxembourg's base SESSA into orbit. So, this reusable rocket is going to take this satellite to orbit. Now, let's think about this. This should work, right? They went through an X-rayed everything, made sure refurbished, did everything they can, make sure she was in ship shape, and do the launch. It'd be no issue. But if this goes well, they're going to do 5 additional relaunches this year with rockets that have undertaken missions previously. So I'm excited for them. We'll see how it goes. It'll be a big test for SpaceX to put a satellite in orbit. And can you imagine? I would almost imagine they've given this company a discount on the launch. And I wonder if the insurance premiums are higher to insure the satellite. I'd love to know those technical details. Maybe we will hear more as the launch time gets closer. Hey, also Cadillac, if you're a Cadillac buyer, and I'm not in a position to buy a Cadillac, but if you're going to buy a Cadillac CTS, according to the team at Cadillac, Cadillac CTS sedans now can talk to each other, which may make driving less deadly. So this is kind of cool. And again, they're the first to initiate this. General Motors, gosh, I can't speak tonight, announced today all of its 2017 Cadillac CTS sedans would come equipped with vehicle-to-vehicle technology that will allow them to communicate with other similar models and detect potential upcoming hazards like slippery roads or disabled vehicles. And it's over quite a distance. They're working at the 5.9 gigahertz band, and they're using a 75 megahertz of spectrum, and this was set aside specifically by the FCC for vehicle-to-vehicle infrastructure and communications. They're the first company to do it. BMW's right behind them, and they're going to introduce one. But the key is, are these vehicles all going to be able to communicate amongst themselves, or is it going to be all proprietary? I would hope not. For now, it's going to have its usefulness in avoiding road hazards. Basically, you know, you're going to have to rely, if there's a lot of CTSs in your area, you're going to get updates. But otherwise, the data will be pretty limited in the beginning. But, you know, I think all the Transportation Administration is, they want all vehicles to be able to talk to each other. And there's some mandates coming out. So this is pretty exciting stuff. We'll see where this leads. Hey, Google announced today that they're revamping Drive, Google Drive, with something called FileStream and expanded Quick Access. And they've launched Gmail add-ons. So this is big. For one thing, Google's introducing a feature called Drive FileStream that will make your entire drive show up on your Mac or Windows PC, but not put all on your computer's hard drive. So if you're an end user or an organization that pays for the G Suite portfolio, like I do, DriveStream is sort of like a Dropbox Smart Sync feature, and it's a little bit different in that it's effectively an intelligent cache. So very cool. You don't have to select folders to sync. It would be possible for a user to explicitly choose which files and folders they would like to sync, but they're launching the feature as an early adopter program before making it available to everyone else. Also, they're expanding its availability of Google of Quick Access, a feature that shows you the documents that Google thinks you're looking for when you open the app. That's smart. I wonder how they do that. And also, they acquired a company called AppBridge, a startup founded in 2014, provides software for migrating your data into the cloud. So a bunch of stuff coming to the Google Drive suite of products and services, which I use heavily. Don't talk about car news too much on this show, but here's the number. I'll give you the top five cars that are returned by owners that or resold within the first year. The number one is the BMW 3 Series. Number two is the BMW 5 Series. Respectively, 8 and 7% of owners resold within the first year. Then you got the Mercedes C-Class at 6.1. Are this because these cars are so expensive, people are rich and they can change cars every year? I don't know. The Nissan Versa Note at 4%, the Dodge Dart at 3.9, BMW X3 at 3.9, BMW 4 Series at 3.9, and it goes on Mercedes, Chrysler, Subaru, and another Nissan product. So I'm driving a vehicle to the wheels fall off. I don't ever trade in cars. So for me, it's a mode of transportation. It's not a status symbol. And as long as it gets me up and down the road safely, that's all that counts for me on cars. All right, new NASA budget focused almost exclusively on space. Congress has passed their $19.5 billion authorization bill that was proposed last fall. And for instance, NASA has been tasked with pushing through its Orion and SLS program and needs to fly an uncrewed mission by 2018. There is some projects that kind of remain in the limbo. The asteroid redirect mission, which NASA wants to do, is kind of in limbo. They got to come up with an alternative mission for that. So anyway, NASA's look like they're pushing to go to space versus doing close-in stuff. Sling is bringing cloud DVR service to Amazon TV and tablets. So if you've got a Sling TV, they're basically introducing this thing called Sling Cloud DVR. It's classified as Amazon's first look. Subscribers of this subset of Sling TV customers can now cough up another $5 per month and save their recorded TV shows to Sling Cloud DVR, and it will be on Amazon. So you have to pay for the storage there, or maybe you don't. Maybe that's storage included. But you can stream stuff back on Amazon Fire TV sticks and the Amazon-compatible smart TV sets. Also included in the mix are Roku boxes that have the Amazon Video app installed. So something interesting for Sling, for you Sling users. There was another article similar, talking about Plex. Plex has turned any cloud folder into an instant media server. So if you have a Dropbox account, Google Drive, or OneDrive, and you're putting media there, you can use your Plex Cloud service at $39.99 a year to be able to play the media from the cloud on your television. Much easier to just have a local network attached storage. It's high speed. You don't have to worry about the ongoing cloud storage fee. But if you're wanting to move to the cloud, you can with this service from Plex as well. Many folks, and I know my grandmother in her later years, suffered dramatically from macular degeneration. There's a lot of stuff that can cause impact to your eyesight, diabetes, and a variety of other things. So right now, scientists have been struggling to fight retinal degeneration in an elegant way. The most practical solution so far involves external devices that send wires to the back of your eyes, but they may have developed a more graceful approach, and it may be coming down the road. It's a retinal implant whose light-sensitive material could at least partially restore retinas and preserve your sight. They did some tests on rats. They don't fully, obviously the rats didn't, they couldn't ask the rats, what did you see? But they did respond to bright lights and stuff better than, or almost the same as healthy animals. So we'll see where this goes. The scientists aren't entirely clear how the electrical charges turn into nerve responses. And so they're starting to figure some of this crazy stuff out. We'll see where it leads as time goes on. But another possible technology that'll change the way we look at things over the next, literally, over the next 10 to 20 years. Google gets the go-ahead to break ground in its new headquarters. And not to be outdone by Apple, they're putting up a 595,000-square-foot, two-story-high building. Construction would begin in Charleston East in Silicon Valley. And, of course, Apple is scheduled to open its donut-shaped headquarters in Cupertino soon. And Apple employees will move to the 175-acre campus. That's massive. It's really massive. It's called Apple Park. But the public's going to be able to go to this Google complex and the Apple complex to shop and eat. So anyway, this is happening in Silicon Valley. So if you live in the area, get ready for more construction. Verizon Fios mobile apps offer data-free streaming for all in-subscribers. So if you've got a Verizon wireless account and you have a Verizon Fios account, this app will allow you to stream data for free via the app, but you have to have both services to qualify. Link will be up in the show notes. Now, how many of you still have a fax machine? I know there's a few of you that will raise your hands. My fax machine's built into my all-in-one scanner, printer, fax, scanner, you know, the whole nine yards. I can't tell you the last time I did a fax, to be honest with you. Couple of years maybe since I did a fax. You know, I just basically scan the document and send it as a digital attachment. That's how you do things these days. But contacting your senator, getting a letter through, you send a physically written letter, it ends up going to someplace and x-rayed and eradicate, and they basically make sure there's no chemicals. I mean, it may take a month for a letter you send your senator to actually get to them because it has to go through this quarantine process. So the best thing you can still do besides email is send a fax. And all congressional offices still have fax machines. So you can send a fax, and the paper might get read faster than an email. But there's a new service that is called ResistBot, ResistBot, and it's at resistbot.io, and you can cack up your own message. It's not one of these Autobots that sends the same type of form letter fax, but you write your own message in there, you type it up, and then they send it for you. So it's pretty cool. Resistbot.io if you currently don't have your own fax. Republicans in the U.S. Congress are moving to repeal regulations adopted by the previous administration in October that would have subjected internet service providers to stricter scrutiny than websites to protect customers' private data. Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona introduced a resolution on Tuesday backed by 34 other senators to undo the regulations under a provision that allows Congress to repeal recently approved federal regulations. Representative Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, who chairs the House panel of telecommunications, introduced a companion measure on Wednesday. So this basically is the bill that allows your internet service provider, or basically the regulations that prevent the internet service provider doing so much stuff with your personal data. So basically they're undoing that, and your internet service provider is essentially going to be allowed to share all your information to, you know, to every marketer in the country without any impact. So this is just another thing. They say that the commissioner said, at the FCC said, that the rules unfairly give websites like Facebook and Twitter or Alphabet the ability to harvest more data than service providers and dominate digital advertising. It's all about you being the product. Okay? But we know that we're already the product on most of these websites. And in fact, there was something I posted, Casey Neistat put up a video today that I really loved. I liked it on his page. I posted it to my Facebook page. And it was basically talking about creators, people that are creating media. And we have to start being very vocal, and whether it be creating a podcast or having a YouTube channel or writing a blog. And taking control of, you know, the message we want to put forth and make sure it's on paper, well, not on paper, but on digital, on the internet, so that we can talk openly about this stuff and push back. The groups like Facebook and Twitter now are already selling to us. And, you know, I find myself, even though I've been talking about Facebook two or three times tonight, I'm on Facebook less than I have been in the past, and trying to bring stuff back into Geek News Central. But become a creator. Let's get vocal and share opinions on some of this stuff. And many of you have been listening to the show for a while. It doesn't matter what you do. If you take a YouTube channel and use your cell phone to create a message, that's great too. Or, you know, pull up a mic and start a podcast. I highly encourage you to do that. All right, Lyft adds 10 more U.S., I guess, spots or cities, and it's reached its 2017 goal of 100 new locations. So that's all, you know, that's just here in, what, 2 months and a week or so that they've added 100 new locales and bring it to over 300 nationwide. They say they're 9 months ahead of schedule, and they are going to just announce that they're going to grow additional 54. They're going to, you know, try to add 50 more locales because they've already, you know, launched these 100 already. And Lyft, however, still remains second to Uber, which is in more than 450 cities worldwide. But Lyft riders can now get a Lyft in Gainesville and Tallahassee, Florida, Lawton in Stillwater, Oklahoma, El Paso, Beaumont, Waco, Kyleen, McAllen, Texas, as well as Greater Maine. Love it. It's in Waco. I told you my story about Waco, right? Many years ago, I was there and had my birthday there and had a little bit too much to drink at a local watering hole and went to ask the bartender for to get me a cab, and he kind of laughed at me and said, nobody gets a cab in Texas, and I was too hammered to drive, and I said, not tonight. I kill myself or kill someone else or end up in jail for driving under the influence. And so I he got me a cab. And you know, it tells you how things are there. He says, "What hotel are you at?" He says, "We'll drop your car off at your," and this is the bartender, "We'll drop your car off at your hotel." And kind of stupidly, I gave him the keys to the rental car. Sure enough, the rental car was there the next morning. The front desk had the key. I think only in Texas when that car would have probably been stripped on a block somewhere else. But you know, it was just one of those things that kind of me go like, wow, that's a different perspective. And that wasn't too many years ago. So it wasn't like you were, you know, it was before when people were driving with one eye closed on a normal basis. It was when, you know, already when times had changed and it was very much frowned upon to drive under the influence. So I'm glad to see Lyft is going into Waco. We have to worry about calling a cab. Just open the app up. And matter of fact, the Lyft can take you to the bar and bring you back. You know, municipalities, I had someone tell me the other day that municipalities are starting to be impacted because they used to get as much as $10,000 in fines out of folks that were convicted of DUI. But because of Lyft and Uber, the number of DUIs are dropping in many cities because people have this convenience of being able to get a ride to someplace and get one back and be able to partake in an adult beverage and not have to worry about getting behind the wheel. So these municipalities now are freaking out a little bit because this revenue that they could almost be guaranteed because they knew they were going to get so many DUIs a year are dropping. So stand by, your taxes are going to get raised because not enough drunks are getting caught. You know, there's still quite a few, don't get me wrong, but keep that in mind. If Uber or Lyft or if you have a cab in your city, always do the right thing. If you go someplace and you have too many cocktails and you are not safe to get behind the wheel, use that alternate mode of transportation. If you're here in Hawaii and need a ride, call me. I'll come get you. That is if I haven't partaked myself. But on this weight loss program, I'm staying away from most adult beverages right now. Okay. The Hubble telescope has captured an amazing view of a strange hybrid galaxy more than 400 million light years away. It's kind of on a weird angle. And sometimes you see a galaxy front on and spiral, or you see it. This one's almost where it's like you're looking dead on. And anyway, I have a link up in the show notes. You can check that out. It's a pretty interesting image. But the thing I wanted to share with you guys that was really cool, for those of you that are watching right now and for those of you that are listening, you need to check this particular article out. It's really awesome. Now, I remember after 9/11, the lights were out in a certain country. I guess that's the best way to say it. The lights were out, and I got to see these amazing meteorite showers, and it was just incredible. You would never see anything like this anywhere else because it was just pitch black. There was no light pollution whatsoever. But a couple of dudes have come up with a graphic that shows you. Obviously the Earth makes an orbit around the sun once every 365 days. And in November, the Earth crosses path with a time where we'll see a much more increased meteorite shower time frame. So it just goes, this is a graphic that shows the orbits of the planets, and it shows how we intersect and how we stay in this band where these meteorites kind of flip through. It's really cool. I've never seen a graphic quite like this. And you can change the perspective and get an idea. You can look above the plane or below the plane. You can look off the side. This is awesome. It's really, really cool. And for those of you that are listening, basically what you have is it shows the orbits of, and most of this debris, the space debris that's out there. And then again, it shows the intersection on how it crosses through the plane in which we're flying through on this planet of ours as we're making our trip around the sun. So it's really awesome. It really, really is. And this article is on space.com. But I'll have the link up in the show notes for all of you to check out. Man, I've got a lot of stuff to get through, and I haven't got halfway through it. Sentinel satellite blast off on a Vega rocket. The Sentinel S2B was launched on March 6th, and successful insertion. So we look forward to see what happens there. There's a it's kind of funny. Every once in a while, it's like a fates meet. I was having a conversation with a guy in Florida, talking to him about some teams, some tools they were using. And he was talking about TeamViewer and you know, the benefits of it, how you can get on and see a desktop. And, you know, it was, you know, really kind of talking about that tool. Well, tonight I see this article on the Register talking about how a British ISP, TalkTalk, is blocking control tool TeamViewer. And basically some scammers are fooling people into using the software and handing over their PCs. So if you get a call and ever someone wants to say, I want you to load TeamViewer, don't do it. Okay? Be careful out there. TeamViewer basically can give someone full control of your PC, allow them to do really anything. So, you know, unless you're on a tech support call with someone that you know and you've initiated that, do not run TeamViewer. Allow someone to run TeamViewer on your computer. If you bought a Pixel or Pixel XL mobile phone, some of the owners are experiencing failing microphones, and Google is recommending warranty replacement. So if you're having trouble with your Pixel, specifically microphone, keep in mind that Google knows there's an issue and are encouraging you to go and get it changed out. Also, close to Fukushima is a town. It's a city by the name of Nami, N-A-M-I-E. It's located 2.5 miles from the damaged nuclear reactor. Radiation levels now measure 0.07 microsieverts an hour, and it's the same as any other area in Japan. So they're going to allow the homeowners to come back into the city. And it's been, you know, many years here. So, you know, 6 years since the initial evacuation. It's hard to believe it's been 6 years of Fukushima, right? But the city has got these roaming wild boars, like 13,000 wild boars that are roaming in and around the city. And the population of the city was only like 25,000 or something like that. And they're warning the public, don't kill them and eat them, because they've been going all over the place. They're probably contaminated, but they've been bringing hunters in. Now, in Japan, you have to go through a lot of hoops to have a handgun or a rifle. It's like really, 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 really hard. So, but they do have provisions for bona fide hunters. So they've been bringing in hunters and traps and all kinds of stuff to try to exterminate these wild boars. But pigs reproduce, you know, they'll have livers of 15, 16, 17, 18 piglets. So it's just, they can reproduce a lot, and so they've got a lot of work ahead of them. So it's kind of interesting. The hogs have taken over this city. So, but that'll be a lot of meat that will not be consumed for sure. Kind of scary, actually. Airbnb has just closed another $1 billion round, and they say that they have become profitable in 2016. So since 2008, Airbnb has raised more than $3 billion. Is that amazing? $3 billion is how much they've raised. And they're finally becoming profitable. I just think about my business. I'm thinking what I could do with like $1 million or $2 million in surge of cash. it just blows me away. It really does. You know, we're earning it the hard way. Day by day, dollar by dollar. If you get a gamer in the house and they're using any type of gamer enhanced supplements, this is a crazy story. I'm just going to link it up. Moms and dads, anybody that's using gamer supplements, please read this. Please don't be doing that. Some of this stuff some of the stuff is really bad for you. So I'll have the link up in the show notes for you. Uber's been granted a DMV permit to test self-driving vehicles in California. All they had to do was apply, and the DMV is allowing their Volvos to go on the road. Isn't that much easier, Uber, than fighting the man? Is to actually play by the rules It's kind of funny. The Army's been playing around with 3D printing and basically using it for weapons development and be able to rapidly and inexpensively prototype weapons that they can test fire and everything else. So saving the taxpayers a lot of dollars. Very, very smart. Car manufacturers and everyone's using 3D now to do prototyping. So it doesn't surprise me that they're doing this in the Army. But they're also saying that at some point they'll be able to do custom builds for custom missions. So they're going to do a mission on a certain type of target, and they'll be able to modify weapons basically for that particular mission and maybe print subparts and stuff like that. So I thought that was kind of a interesting move here. Now, this is nothing new. People have been 3D printing guns for a while against the law, but Army can just about do what they want to do. Those of you that are NVIDIA GTX 1080 fans, the GTX 1080 Ti is getting some rave reviews as the first real 4K GPU. And they did some head-to-heads depending on who drives it better, AMD or Intel. And but anyway, this is a good article. It's promised to be 35% faster than a GTX 1080. And I don't know what it's going to cost. I'm sure it's going to be very, very pricey. But for those of you gamers out there that love the NVIDIA products, the GT 1080 Ti is the latest card that's making its debut. Google's reCAPTCHA, many of you have seen that where you have to click I'm not a robot and you have to like pick street signs or a mountain. They say that their new reCAPTCHA update is going to turn invisible and will be able to separate bots from people without challenging you to click a bunch of stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. I really, really am. Also, I'm not into AR headset stuff. I know some of you may be, but there's a startup that is called Avegant, A-V-E-G-A-N-T. It's a Silicon Valley startup that sells a pair of headphones equipped with a VR-like portable screen that is basically going head-to-head with a HoloLens. So if you've been looking into this, this may be another option for you. A pretty good review here on The Verge. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check that out. Also, police have won a warrant to search a Dakota Access Pipeline protest Facebook page, and they're looking for some specific information around a specific protest. Must be they've got a criminal investigation going on and something that happened with the traffic being halted in some areas. They're trying to figure out who the people were that halted the traffic. The ACLU is involved trying to stop the warrant, but the police are definitely going after this in a big way. So what you think's private may not end up being private. Congratulations to Mark Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla. They're expecting their second child, another baby girl. He made the announcement on Facebook a few days ago, or actually 8 hours ago today. So congratulations to Mark and Priscilla. Or baby number two. They were a little worried about being able to have another child because his wife had so much trouble during the first the first go around. So we hope everything goes good with the pregnancy. All right, T-Mobile customers can now use 30 gigs of data before getting slowed down. So they went from 28 to 30, keeping the push on. Got to give them credit. They're really keeping the heat on in a big, big way. Also, Google's turning Hangouts into a Slack competitor. I'm going to be honest, it's going to be really tough to beat Slack. Slack is really awesome. I'm in now 6 or 7 Slack channels. My email volume has dropped, through the basement. I'm just telling you, for groups and for teams, it's really the only way to operate. It's really incredible. I can drop a message in for someone. I have a private message, have a public channel, have a private channel. It works for really teams in a great way. You can put links up to Google Docs. It's awesome. You can capture pictures and put them in. It's a really great tool. And now Google is trying to reinvent Hangouts into a Slack competitor. We'll see where this leads. Okay, HBO Game of Thrones. Cannot wait. They tried to do a live stream thing today where they're melting a block of ice and they were had some flamethrowers going to be able to reveal the new show dates. And I guess it just went sideways, the live event did. So in the end, HB announced that the premiere of Season 7 is going to happen on July 16th. So look forward to Game of Thrones Season 7, July 16th. I haven't seen this yet, but apparently some of you are using File Explorer and seeing OneDrive ads in Windows 10's File Explorer. I do not use OneDrive at all. I know there's a link to it in Explorer, but I have not seen an ad. And some of you may have already seen an ad. I just think it's pretty amazing that they're pushing like this. It must be people aren't using it, adopting it very well if they're having to do that. Also, I'm not a runner. I can't run anymore because of the injury I had in my back in 2004. But Nike has come out with a new set of shoes that is really making some big news. And if you're a runner, you're going to want to look at these shoes called the Zoom Vaporfly Elite. And be prepared for something to be radically different. And I have the link up in the show notes for those of you that run. There's a great article about it on Wired and the experience of long-distance runners had. And I think this is going to change running shoes. This is an evolution that, you know, how do you change shoes? And I think Nike has just done it. So, and these are shoes you're not going to walk around in. These are designed for running and running only. But I'll have the link up in the show notes for you. Amazon is getting a Spanish language option since its inception. Amazon.com has only been available in English, and Amazon is adding a Spanish language option that should be appearing to customers near the future. The site has localized versions for a number of countries, including Mexico and Spain, but this is the first time that Amazon's American site will be offering multiple languages. It makes a lot of sense for them to do that. China, more interestingly, apparently... President Trump's pretty popular over there. So the Chinese government has given preliminary approval on 38 more trademarks to the Trump business. China's granted preliminary approval of 38 new Trump trademarks to a move that offers a potential business foothold for President Donald Trump family company and protects his name in a country notorious for counterfeiters. Trump's lawyers in China applied for the marks in April 2016. As Trump rallied against the China at a campaign rallies, accusing of its currency manipulation, but they still approved the the trademark. So they, you know, cash talks, folks. You know, money talks. It doesn't matter what people say. Follow the money. All right, Google launches the official Gmail add-on program. We talked a little bit about that earlier, but devs are going to be able to do that. That's it. I got through all. I thought I was going to be way, way behind. Also, I think, Felix, if you're still on tonight, congratulations starting the Latin Podcast Awards. So, yeah, I'd be happy to chat about you sometime about that. Very, very cool. All right. Those who've been on the chat, Dan, Gary, Felix, everyone, thanks for being on the show, watching the show tonight. It's been my pleasure. Those of you that have been listening, thank you so much for being part of the Ohana. Thanks for staying subscribed. We're on the march here now to show 1200. We're only a couple months away. So if I can keep my act together, I know I'm going to be out for NAB, but you know, maybe first week of May or something like that. I got to count it out, but at some point the show's going to catch up to my October date, and we're going to, you know, be a year behind on the 100 numbers or something to that effect. But anyway, one thing, every geeknews@gmail.com. Don't forget about my sponsor. Please support them. Share my codes with your friends, neighbors, people that you know at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Again, had a great time doing the show tonight. I can't believe I've actually held my own, just absolutely wiped out tonight. And I think you could tell at the beginning of the show was a stumbling over my words a little bit. That sometimes happens when you get super tired. I've had an incredibly long day, but the show must go on. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time here on the Geekness Center podcast. Everyone take care. Aloha.